I want to say thank you all for coming this morning. It's good to see all of us here this morning together in God's house. Thank you, ladies, for playing again this morning and helping out in our service. The title of our message this morning is, Why Are We Here? Why are we here? Now, I was talking with Greg back there a while ago, and he said, he asked me what the title of my message was, I said it was. And he says, because the Bible says we should. I said, okay, message over. Let's go home. And as you think about that question, you could inflect your voice to ask that in four different ways, couldn't you? Why are we here? Or why are we here? Why are we here? Or why are we here? And as I was seeking the Lord on what message to bring this morning, this question just kept coming to my mind, and I couldn't get away from it. So here we go. This is what we're going to talk about this morning. Why are we here? Why are we here? And as we think about that, there's a lot of reasons why we are here. And we're going to talk about that this morning. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, we're going to read from chapter 2. It's going to just kind of be our basis for the message this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, the first 10 verses. And we're going to use that and a number of other scriptures. If you have your Bibles with you, be ready. We're going to have a sword drill. We're going to be looking up different scriptures this morning and reading from the Word together. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning thankful for the opportunity just to be in your house. And I pray, Lord, that as we look at this lesson this morning, that you would guide my thoughts, help me to speak only that which you would have me to share, and open up our hearts to hear what you have to say today. Guide and direct. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for how it speaks to us. And I pray, Lord, that everything that we say and do here this morning would uplift your name and honor and glorify you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three points in my message this morning. And why are we here? Number one, we are here to worship God. Would you say amen to that? We are here to worship God. When we come into this building on any Sunday morning or any Wednesday night or any time the doors are open, our primary reason for being here should be to worship God. Amen? He is the one who has created us. And we read from Psalm 95. I'm going to be all over the place this morning. But that's where the Lord was leading me. So now, Psalm 95, he says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. We are here to worship God. We are to lift up our praise because He is the one who has created us. None of us are alive today, but that God created each and every one of us. He creates, He's created everything around us, but He's also created us. And He has created us to worship Him. We are to lift up our voices in praise. And in Psalm 100, again, enter into His gates, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. We are here to worship God. We come into this place to lift up our voices in praise to God because of who He is. He, first of all, is our Creator. Second of all, we give God praise and worship because He is our sustainer. He holds everything together. He keeps us going. When you're having a difficult in life, time in life, where do you go? We go to the Lord, don't we? We go to the God who has the answers for us. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He sustains us. He gives us the strength to overcome. He gives us the strength to live in this corrupt, sinful world. How many times do we go out into the world and we see all the wickedness, all the horrible things that are happening? As I was at work yesterday, I was looking at some of the news. There were 3 separate incidents yesterday where people were killed or shot. Mass killings. We live just in this country. We live in a horrible, horrible world, don't we? When you think about what's going on around us, what keeps us going? Who keeps us going? It's our Heavenly Father, isn't it? He's the one who gives us that strength. He sustains us in times of need. He helps us as we walk through this life. And as I thought about how He sustains us, my mind went back to the 23rd Psalm. Not that I'm going to cover it all this morning in light of the rest of our lesson, but He says in that Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then He talks about different things. And He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And He goes on to say, as we probably all have it memorized, don't we? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is the Lord your sustainer this morning? Is He keeping you going? Is He the one to whom we turn to keep us going when the going gets rough? He should be, because He is there for that. He is our sustainer. We worship Him because He is ever present to sustain us in our lives. He's our source of all good things. Is there anything good in your life this morning? What's good in your life? Anybody want to just... You're here. Amen. That's a good thing. Amen. What other things are good in your life?
Everything.
Everything. Okay. That kind of covers it all, doesn't it? God is good. He is the source of all good for us in our lives. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply some of our needs according to His riches and glory. Is that what it says? All. What does the word all mean? All. Everything we have need of, He will provide. He sustains us, and He's our source of supply. When we need something, we can go to Him. When we need physical healing, we can go to him. When we're in trouble financially, we can go to him. He has answers for us. When we are going through a difficult experience relationally, we can go to him. Amen. He is the source of all good. And as we learn from his word, he is ever present and he wants to bless us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to fill us with good things. I remember Jesus saying, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give you the good things? Now we might say, okay, what good thing can God give me? Oh, I'd like a new Cadillac, or I'd like a big fancy house. Is that what he's talking about? No, it's the good things of the word, the good things that bring us to a closer relationship with him. Does he bless with those material things? He does at times. Of course he does, because he gives good gifts. But he is our source of spiritual supply. There's nothing that we can ask him for in relationship to our spiritual walk that he will not meet our need. Amen? He's ever present to meet our needs. He is our source. And the most important thing that we should be worshiping God for? Our salvation. Amen? We talked about that in Sunday school class this morning. How important it is to know that you're saved. To know that your sins are forgiven. And that you're on your way to heaven. And he is our source of salvation. Psalm 98 verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read that. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He has given to us his salvation. He has provided for us a means of escape from the eternal death that was facing every human being that has ever lived or ever will live. There is a penalty for sin, but because of what Jesus did, what his Father did by sending him here, we can escape that eternal punishment, and we have salvation through Jesus Christ. He is the one who has given to us the opportunity to be living with him forever. What a blessing. What a great thought that is. That we can live forever with our Heavenly Father in the Holy Kingdom someday. Now, what does that mean to us today? How should we live today based on where we are, based on our salvation? We should be living our lives to please him. And one of the things that I think I know that I need to do more is to worship him, is to praise him, is to lift up his name, to lift up my voice in praise and adoration for who he is. Can anybody else say that this morning? You need to do that more? I think we all could probably say we need to praise the Lord more because he's worthy of our praise. Amen. He is the one who has done all this stuff for us. So we should be worshiping him. Number two, we are here to serve God. Would you agree with that? We are here to serve God. We are here, we have been called to a life of service. Now, whatever that means for you, it may be different for each and every one of us, right? What has God called you to do in the way of service? But there are some things that we are all called to do. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, which are the last two verses of the book of Matthew. Jesus, as he was preparing to go back to heaven, said to his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And he says that we are to be witnesses for him. We are to witness to him, about him, to the world around us. That's part of our service for him. We are to be sharing what God has done for us. What has God done for you? Everything, right? Everything. He has blessed us. He has encouraged us. He has helped us. And he has, most importantly, he has saved us. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus, you are blessed. Amen? You are on your way to heaven. And you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry about the world and its situation, because we are in his hands and he's taking care of us. We are to be a witness and we are to pray. As part of our service to God, we are to be in prayer. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, I should have had these marked. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. There's another place, I think it's in Thessalonians, where he says, pray without ceasing. We are to be in an attitude of prayer. As we serve God, we are to use our time wisely, giving others an opportunity to hear what God has done in our lives, and then praying that the words that we speak to others in our relationships, in our opportunities, that as we share the word, that word will take effect in those others' lives, those who don't know Jesus. That as we share our faith, that the Spirit would take the words that we have spoken and inject them or place them in their heart, kind of like Brandon was talking about his friend this morning. The word needs to be in place in his heart, doesn't it? So that he can come to know Jesus. There are millions of people around us that need to know, that need to hear who Jesus is. And as we witness and as we pray, God wants to use us and use our prayers to help others. And in our study a couple weeks ago, in 1 Timothy on Wednesday night, there was a verse. In 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He says that men should be praying, and I don't think he just means men. He means everybody. Amen. Women, you can pray too. Women, we need your prayers. We need everyone praying and seeking God for the strength and the encouragement that we need. And then one more verse about prayer is James 5:16. It's probably a familiar verse for most of us, but I'll read it anyways. And he says, in James 5, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It has value. It will move heaven when we are fervent and our prayers are effectual, because we are committed to a life of prayer, to pray for others, to pray for ourselves, to pray for the needs of our communities. Are we praying people? That's an act of service, isn't it? We are to serve one another through prayer. And as I was thinking about this whole lesson, and that verse 10 in our reading this morning, when we read in verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Those two verses are very, very well known in Christian circles. But then as we look at verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, that we should be doing good works. He has created us to do good works for his glory, for his honor, as an act of our worship, to put ourselves out there, to be willing to take a chance, to be willing to risk ridicule, risk perhaps embarrassment, to speak up for our Lord. Have you ever had anyone make fun of you when you're witnessing? Or say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. That's crazy stuff. It can happen. It has happened. But we shouldn't be afraid of that. We shouldn't be worried about that. Because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen. And as we think about our lives, why are we here? We are here to serve. We are here to serve one another. I recall when the mother of James and John, two of Jesus' disciples, came to him and asked if her two boys could sit on the right and the left side of Jesus. He said, wait a minute, that's not for me to give. That's only my Father. And then he went on to talk about to be truly great in the kingdom of heaven, what are we to be? Servants. We are to be servants one of another, willing to lay down our lives for one another. Jesus was the greatest example of what it means to be a servant. Here he was, the Son of the Almighty God, who was willing to come to this earth and live as a human being, facing all the trials and tribulations of being human. And on top of that, was willing to allow himself to be beaten, abused, and nailed to a cross so that we wouldn't have to. Wouldn't have mattered if we were nailed to a cross. It still wouldn't have paid for our sins, would it? It was only through him. And he is the greatest example of a servant. And he exemplified that so many different ways. My mind goes to the Last Supper, the upper room, and washing the disciples' feet. What a great testimony of service that he gave to us. And we are to be willing to be servants as well. And the third way we can give, be serving God as an act of worship, and we've done it here this morning. We took up an offering, didn't we? We gave to the work of God. We give that which he has blessed us with. He has given us instructions on giving. In Malachi, he talked about, will a man rob God? And let's see what it says here. Will a man rob God? Yea, ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may meat in my house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to contain. Amen. You want to be blessed by God? Give. How many of us in this room can say, I've outgiven God? Can any of us say that? No. You can never outgive God. He says, if you're willing to give as I command and direct you, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to contain. He wants to bless us, as I said earlier. And there's a formula. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, it says. So as an act of worship, as an act of why we are here, we are to give. Not just our money. Give our time. Give our talents. Whatever God has gifted you with, you should be using that gift. It's interesting. I was listening to a message as I was coming to church this morning, and the pastor was talking about spiritual gifts. I don't know if anyone else heard it this morning, but he was talking about there was a man in the church. I don't think this was just a hypothetical, but he said, suppose there's a person in the church who has the gift of encouragement, but yet he wants to be in the choir, he wants to be in the worship team, but he doesn't have a very good voice, and so they don't allow him to be a part of the worship team because he doesn't have a very good singing voice. That's not his gift. And because he gets disturbed or upset or frustrated or disappointed that he can't be on the worship team, he decides he's not going to use his gift as an encourager. So he just sits in the back pew and doesn't greet people, doesn't encourage others. His not using his gift could have serious consequences to the life of someone who may come through the doors of that church and need some encouragement. Amen? We don't know who needs what we have. We don't know who needs what God has gifted us with. Amen? And as we think about that, as we prayerfully consider, God, what would you have me do with the gifts that you've given me? We need to be ready and willing and able to say, yes, Lord, whatever it is, I'll do it. So we're to give of ourselves. And the third thing that we're supposed to do in our why are we here? We are here to do battle. We are here to fight the good fight of faith, aren't we? We are here to stand up for the truth. We are not to be just hiding in a corner somewhere. We're not supposed to just stand back and let someone else fight the battles. We're not supposed to stand back and say, oh, that's the preacher's job. Oh, that's the Sunday school teacher's job. Oh, that's somebody else's job. It's each and every one of us. That's our job. That's part of our act of worship. That's part of why we are here. We are to fight the battle. We are to stand contending earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's found in Jude verse 3. And he says, we are to earnestly contend for the faith. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Are there those out there in our world today who want to pervert the gospel? They want to twist it and change it and make it something other than what God intended? We are to earnestly contend. We are to earnestly fight for what the truth is, what the word of God says, not what man says. Our culture changes. Our society changes. The values of our world change periodically. It seems like it's been going downhill real fast lately, hasn't it? But you know what? The word doesn't change, does it? God's word is still the same as it was when he spoke it thousands of years ago. And it means the same thing today as it did back then. We're to earnestly contend for that. We are to stand for the truth. We are to fight against the enemy. We're to stand up against the devil. James says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Have any of you had any attacks from the devil recently? Has he been bugging you? Has he been fighting against you? He is. He's busy. He's at work. All he wants to do is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is a great deceiver. He is trying to deceive the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, away from the truth. We are to fight that. We are to resist the devil. When he comes in, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We are to plant our flag and say, enough's enough. Devil, you're not going any further. I'm not going to let you win, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Are we taking a stand for the truth in our own lives, in the life of our church? Are we standing for the truth? That's part of why we are here. That's partly why God has me here. So I can stand for the truth in my sphere of influence, where I live, where I work, to stand for truth and let him get the glory. And we're to fight the good fight of faith. Paul told Timothy chapter 6 of the first letter to Timothy. He said, let me read it to you. It won't take you but a second. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. But we are to fight the good fight of faith. And we are to not get discouraged. We are not to become afraid, because we have the power of God in us through the Spirit. And as we live our lives walking by faith, trusting in God, using what he has given us, and I was going to go to Ephesians chapter 6 and talk about the whole armor of God, but I know y'all just covered that in Bible school, didn't you? So you all know that very good, very well. that the weapons of our warfare, he says, are not carnal, but spiritual. We war not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting each other. We're not fighting the people in the world. We're fighting the powers of darkness that are behind those forces in the world, those forces of evil, Satan and his minions. And we are to fight. We are to use what God has given us to fight the battle, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's our weapon, isn't it? All those other pieces of the armor are for defense. But the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is what we fight with. And we use the Word to combat the enemy. He cannot fight against the Word. Amen? Because the Word is powerful. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we are to use that Word to fight the battle. So we are here. Why are we here? We're here to worship, we're here to serve, and we're here to fight the battle. And as we examine ourselves, as I close this morning, let's look at our lives. Let's, each one of us, look at your life. I'll look at mine. How are we doing? How are we doing? How am I doing? How are you doing? Are we worshiping God enough with a sincere heart? Are we opening our spirit to His Spirit to express our love and devotion for Him? How about in the area of serving our Lord and one another? How do we see ourselves measuring up? Am I serving God and my fellow man the way He's called me to do that? I'm just going to ask that question for me. Each of you can ask that question of yourselves. I know that I fail many times, but I'm thankful that there's forgiveness and there's hope. And He picks us up and dusts us off and lets us keep on going when we make mistakes. And I ask this, what is God calling you to do in service for the kingdom? What is He calling you to do? And are we actively engaged in the battle for the souls of men and women, boys and girls? Are we using the tools God has given us to win the battles and be victorious? We're living in troubled times, brothers and sisters. And God has called us to be here and be involved. We are here on purpose for a purpose. We are here to live our lives in victory and show others how to obtain that victory and fight against the enemy. I'm going to say this. If you need to worship God more, do it now. Anybody want to lift up their hand, just praise the Lord? God is here. He wants to hear our praises. He wants us to worship Him. If you need to find a place or a person to serve, do it now. If you have been hesitant to join in the war, to fight, help fight the battle, pick up your sword. Start fighting. Amen? And each of us, as we recognize where God is calling us, what He's calling us to do, when we get a good understanding of that, then we are better prepared to do battle with the enemy. We are better prepared to serve Him and one another, and we are better prepared to worship Him. In closing, I wonder, is there anyone here this morning who would say, I'm not sure, I'm on my way to heaven? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to, you know, make a public acknowledgement. But if you're not sure, you can be sure today. And if anyone would like to come and pray at the altar this morning, it's open. If you have a need, if you have a concern, if you just want to pray, you're more than happy, you're more than willing to do. It's open. You can come and pray if you'd like to. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world that is full of violence and corruption and sin and wickedness. We are here to help win lost souls to Jesus. Are we doing our part? Am I doing my part? I'll make it personal. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this opportunity You've given us this morning to once again hear Your word. And I pray, Lord, that as we dismiss from here, that what you have said to us this morning would burn deep in our hearts, and that we would purpose in our hearts and our lives to be the people that you would have us to be. Forgive us where we failed you. Show us the path that you would have us to travel. And encourage us by your Spirit. Empower us by your Spirit. And encourage us to walk by faith and not by sight. And know that victory is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, dismiss us now. May your Spirit go with us. May we be encouraged and strengthened because we've been in your house and met with one another and met with you today. Father, I pray all this in Jesus' wonderful, precious name. Amen. Thank you very much for being here. You're dismissed.